Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. Today on Hercules and the Planetary Powers, we have two guests, Bernie Ashman and Kak Young, and we will start with Bernie Ashman, astrologer extraordinaire. Greetings and welcome, Bernie. How are you?
I'm doing great. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Awesome. I loved your book, Sun Sign Karma. I'm a beginner to astrology, not mythology, upon which the astrology is largely based. So I've been navigating fairly well through it as I learn. But your book was truly extraordinary. I'd never thought to think of astrology in terms of karmic lessons. So thank you for writing this
fantastic
book.
No, you're very
what
welcome.
Inspired
I really enjoyed it. I'm sorry?
What inspired you to write this astrology book in this particular way?
Oh, I've been interested in past lives for decades, really. And this was my seventh astrology book. And I just thought I wanted to offer something to the reader that was easy to read, but with a lot of depth. That was really the motivating force for this. I've worked with so many clients over the years, and I've done a lot of past life work for people. So this approach, I just wanted it to be something that somebody could read and learn from and just get a lot out of.
Well, I certainly got a lot out of it, and I certainly learned a lot from it. And I've checked out your website on Past Lives, and you were on Shelly Kerr's show recently. And Shelly Kerr is, of course, the past life lady. So if we have time for today's toward the end, I'll ask you questions about that. If not, I'll have to have you on the show again.
Okay,
so
fantastic.
How did your journey begin? What first got you interested in astrology?
I go way back. In the 1970s, I was really on my metaphysical journey, you could call it. I thought mythology was actually really interesting. And I like the psychic type stuff. I actually did some those kind of readings because I'm very intuitive. But it just didn't feel like it was quite the vehicle for me. So when I discovered astrology, it was actually through a book by a Frenchman, Dane Rudyard, who wrote some really great stuff on a psychological, spiritual, evolutionary kind of method. And it just captured my whole attention. And I never looked back. That was in 1973. But
wow,
That's what really got me into it. Yeah, it was really a pleasant surprise, you could say, for me.
And fortunate for all of us, too, because you've written all these books and you're getting other people interested and you're shedding light on their particular journeys into the realm of astrology.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned that you were doing readings of other sorts because you're intuitive. What type of readings were you doing? Tarot cards, tea leaves, palm reading?
More just getting a feel for people. I actually just picked up on a person that was sitting with me.
Okay.
I could just read them. It actually surprised me that I was accurate. They kept telling me I was. So, and, you know, I thought healing was kind of neat, too. For a while there, I was really, like, into color-type healing, using different colors, stuff like that, for a brief period. But it was pretty brief with that. But the whole thing of yoga and all this type of stuff, well, I found fascinating, really. And I was around 25 years old then, really searching. I graduated from college, the University of Florida, but I didn't feel like I'd found what I really was looking for. But astrology brought out my passion, the whole picture of what I was, the whole thing that I was really trying to understand for myself, my own self-growth. And it's just been a great tool for me to share with people over the years. I've actually really enjoyed being able to guide people and give them options for the situations they're in.
And that is very helpful. I found when reading the book that that there are different parts of me that kind of belong to different signs. and different people in my life, both externally and internally, that belong to different signs. So the entire zodiac's alive. At certain points in my journey, I've been more of one and less of another, and then it kind of evolves over time. And one, your book gave me a new way of looking at that. So now I look at my totality, and then I look at the parts of myself that are still working on particular things. And then as the year goes round in the zodiac cycle, I figure I'll give these I'll give an extra focus to those particular things about me in that time, and see if I can learn the karmic lessons.
Yes. No, yeah, that's really well explained. I tell people, and I've said this on Facebook and to a different clientele I've had for quite a while, that life is really a 12-step process. Because when you think about it, you look at those 12, when you look at those 12 signs, I love the way actually you covered my book, because I'm finding that other people are doing that too. And people that understand their astrological chart, sometimes the moon sign will be strong or the rising sign they want to look at. So they're picking out different chapters, just like you've done, to really get a better understanding of the whole totality of their path, you could say. But that 12-step process is something that it's really – really important to understand, like you've done. Yes.
I'm a beginner, so whatever I've discovered comes from my ignorance, but your book was exceptional, and it really shed a lot of light and helped make my journey a lot easier. Now, do we have the same sun sign in every incarnation that we come here to this planet to experience, or do we cycle through the zodiac?
Yeah, no, we don't have the same sign. You may have had a particular sign more than once, for sure, because if you've had several lifetimes, it's going to happen. But no, it's not the same one every time. I felt very early on when I got into astrology, when I looked at when I just looked at my chart and other people's charts, that we attract the chart we need for this lifetime. And it may be connected to some other past lives we've had. But, no, just to give you a simple answer, I really don't believe it at all that we're going to have the same sun sign every time. We wouldn't have the same moon sign, for instance. But we get the chart we need to fulfill the mission that we came in here to do, is the way I've always looked at it. It's funny, the first time I started looking at charts, before I even was thinking about past lives, I just got the feeling in my chart or somebody else's, I was looking at the chart of somebody. It represents several different lifetimes because there's different, you could say different symbols in a chart that you can look at to start to tune in to some past life work that a person's come in to work on. And I always tell people this too, that we're not limited by our past lives. As a matter of fact, we can get very empowered when we start tapping into them, because sometimes the very thing we came in to work on is the thing that empowers us. So I hope that makes sense.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. And I've always felt that we all have a superpower or a bunch of superpowers, and it's usually something that you're really good at, but it's easy to use, so you value it, and you don't think it's something valuable, but other people do. So if you can get past that and recognize that that's a divine gift or any way you want to look at it, then that becomes your superpower. And there's a lot of emphasis on our society working on your weaknesses, but I found if you work on your strengths, that works a lot better than trying to wrestle with your weaknesses.
Yeah, definitely. I have to totally agree with you on that. For sure. Yes.
So do we have a choice when we're go ahead.
Say that again. Oh, I was just going to
say. Do we have a choice when we incarnate?
I think we do, or maybe it's this way. Maybe it's what we attract in terms of a chart or different parts of who we are in terms of our identity, we're really given what we need to be successful in this lifetime. And by success, I just mean to be whatever that means to a person. They have got a healthy self-esteem, activity, they love their relationships. They just feel fulfilled by whether it's the work they do, their identity. But it's all there in a person's chart. Sometimes people come to me that have had a chart done before, and I don't mean to put down anybody else, because we're all different the way we interpret astrologers.
Right.
Because it's an art and a science. So, but sometimes a person was told that about something negative in their chart that was really limiting them, and I just described it in a way that they could take that same energy and put it into more of a positive approach if it really was holding them back. So you don't want to dwell on the negative to the point that it really is holding you back, because that superpower you're talking about, that personal empowerment, it's right there in every chart I look at, a way to do it. And sometimes it's just being able to see it. I've been doing this so long that I can see a whole chart in less than a minute. I can see all the themes of it.
Oh, wow.
But that didn't happen right away. It takes a lot of practice, a lot of skill, and you have to do a lot of charts for that to happen. I just can speedily see those past life themes, the current life themes, and how they blend together. So that's when you ask that question about writing this book, that really is what inspired me to write this book, because just in the nature of a sun sign, there's so much information, as you found out from looking at my book, there's just so many different ways to use a particular sign. One of my favorite parts of my book, if you don't mind me saying so, is when I offered the section of altered perceptions. In other words, I give some ways maybe a person might struggle with a sign, but right after that I have that section with a little tweak, a little altered perception. You can get so clear so quick on maybe a theme that's been in your way, or you just want to get clearer about. So the book, my intention was not to judge anyone, but to just offer, you know, just a different way to maybe look at particular energies they have.
And to interpret them positively, as you've pointed out.
And
yes, that was very helpful, because we live in a culture that tends to accentuate the negative, you know, continuously.
Yes.
You can look at something many different ways, and depending on how you look at it, that's what you're going to experience. So if you see something that looks negative and recognize it as an opportunity rather than a hindrance, then you'll find that opportunity and you might benefit from that opportunity. So that was very helpful.
Yeah. That's great to hear. I remember I have a quote from Buddha in the book. I think it's in the Virgo chapter, if my memory's right. And I actually found this quote the first time when I was at Virginia Beach. I bought this book, Where Cats Meditate. And it was a Buddha quote in there. And he said, the quote says, "Be vigilant, guard your mind against negative thoughts." And of course, we're all human. Sometimes you're just going to, you know, get a little negative about something. But if it's a major theme in a person's life that they keep struggling with, I've just had a technique to really help people get past it, to at least show where it is, how to maybe just take a little different approach to what they're doing. So, which I really enjoy being able to do for someone.
That's a wonderful quote. I found in my own way that if, like, the negative thoughts are going to come anyway, but the trick is not to entertain them. or not to get hooked up in the negative scenarios, because they're going to happen anyway.
Yes.
So if you start beating yourself up because you're getting negative thoughts, you're going to be beating yourself up a lot. But if you just recognize that you don't have to give them energy, you don't have to go through the what if scenario that they're presenting, or the oh my God, isn't it awful scenario that they're giving. Just let them do their thing and don't pay them any mind.
Yes.
And it frees up. It really frees up your time, and you don't have a lot of these negative whirlwinds that I remember experiencing when I was much younger all the time.
Yeah, me too.
So
I got a big boost from astrology, really. It showed me how to rise above a lot of stuff. But, you know, you make an interesting point, too, because sometimes a person, I've noticed, is going through a time period, like a cycle, and sometimes some past life stuff or even current stuff is being dug up from within them. And I always tell people, don't over-identify with it, because it could be that it's just getting removed right now. It's something that just has to happen. It's like a rebirthing process. Because I see people all the time going through rebirthing processes at different points in their life, my life. So sometimes when that happens, that's when some of the stuff starts to come up. And sometimes that's when people get really a little anxiety prone. But I've been really successful in helping people get through those kind of time periods. I don't have all the answers, but to just let them know there's something positive behind all this. I can see it. So I just describe it to them. It's there.
And that's coming across very loudly and very clearly. And again, I'm not an astrologer, so I'm not going to understand everything that you're explaining to my next question. But how do you, like, for instance, how do you see if it's something from a previous life or if it's like patterns from a series of past lives? How would that show up in a chart?
There's certain alignments that can happen. I always like geometry. And believe it or not, in an astrological chart, there's some mathematics that happen. Different planets are situated so many degrees apart from another. And there are certain alignments that indicate it's probably a karmic pattern. Sometimes it's good, what I have found, the 12th house. In astrology, there's these 12 astrological houses. On the day we're born, the sky is divided like into 12 sections in a person's chart. The 12th house is like the mothership of past life themes. Whether you have a planet or anything in there or not, I have a way of just tuning into that. There are times intuitively I just see it. It's not like it has to mean it's a past life theme, certain things, but I can tell it is just from the way it fits into the whole person's chart. When you get the whole gestalt, you know, the whole impression of a chart, you can start to see that there's just certain themes that are definitely past life. There are certain planets that align a certain way, like Saturn and Pluto in particular. If they make certain alignments, there's times where I've known that I've come in my own chart, even I have one like that with Saturn. I just came in to work with it. And but those past life themes, you know, it's not like they're destructive or holding us back. They're there for a reason, because there's also so much power in them. When we heal them, when we just get clear about what those energies are. But I just have a talent for being able to intuitively sometimes know that something is a past life theme in a chart. But there are certain patterns that are known to be by most astrologers. I hope that was clear.
And it's clearer. Again, a year from now, when I study it a lot more, I'll be able to benefit more from that. So fortunately, we're recording it. Now, you also mentioned that somebody can tap into talents and abilities that they had in previous lives and use them to enhance this life. How would that work?
For instance, say somebody is an artist in this lifetime or wants to be one. I can tell they've been one before. I can just see it. Say somebody wants to be a healer. I see those patterns in their chart that they've done it before. Some people multiple times. Maybe just an incarnation or two related to this particular lifetime. My theory is this, that there's probably a group of past lives linked to the current chart. And those patterns really show up. A person who's, you could say, really good with mathematics, you could show up through Mars. It's a very mathematical planet. And it could be because it's in their 12th house, they've done it before. So those talents are there, and sometimes we just have to tap into them. Uranus is a planet that could be acupuncture and or work with the brain. I remember doing that for a client several years ago who never thought about that. She was a healer, and then she got to work, do some brain work on people, like massage around that area. I forget the technical name for it. It slipped my mind. But in her chart, it showed she probably had done this before. So it could be at any level that we're talking about. It could be somebody who's been a great parent before, wondering if they could be one in this lifetime. And I'm looking, my God, this person has a moon that over several lifetimes was just a great caretaker. It could be a father I'm doing it for, you know, a man or a woman that I'm doing a chart for. So it's there in a person's chart. Often there's several past life talents, for sure. They're just there. Yes.
And you've even invented a past life chart wheel, and that was turned into software to predict past lives or identify past lives.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It was more, you could say, to identify those psychological patterns that are in there. And it could be talents. I got into that some when I wrote the interpretations for it. It was actually for Matrix Software at that time. They had asked me to write the interpretations for a past life software program, and they would, you know, do all the software for it. And now Cosmic Patterns in Florida, Gainesville, Florida, where I went to college, oddly enough, interestingly enough, took it over. Which is quite a synchronicity. It still stuns me that they're in Gainesville, Florida. So when I was working on an outline for this software program, I saw a chart within a chart. It kind of shocked me, really. I could feel my left brain fighting my right brain. God, is this real? And the more I looked at it, I said, this is really me. There's so many underlying patterns inside of me. And I thought about some other people I'd done charts for. And what happens is, and I won't go on and on because I know you're pretty new and maybe a lot of listeners would be, but ordinarily the first house of a chart is known as the ascendant or the rising sign. Well, I took the 12th house as the ascendant. Another thing when you get a chart done, the houses run counter clockwise, but I invented a clockwise house system. In other words, everything goes like a clockwork. It goes backward, though, through a chart, which in a way symbolizes past lives. Because if you know anything about retrograde planets, we're, as I'm talking to you today, Mercury in the sky is retrograde. It went in there on Monday. It'll be in there for a few weeks. I wrote a whole book on Mercury retrograde.
Yes, I want to interview you about that book in the future, too.
Sure. That's what Shelley says. Anyway, the whole thing about retrograde is if you have any planets in your chart that are retrograde, they're often related to past lives. I have one at birth, Uranus retrograde, that I thought really helped me get into astrology. I felt like I'd done it before. It just came to me so quickly. I'm honestly really grateful for that, that it was that way. But this past life chart, the Matrix software had to redo the logarithms. They didn't have the right software to even set up a chart like I had invented. So they started selling the software, and it was flying out of there about 20 years ago. And then people started asking for the chart wheel. So then they had to put the chart wheel together so they could send it with the software to the people that already bought it. So I'm really excited because it's still selling internationally, but the main thing is it's really helping a lot of people to just get another view of the chart they were born with. It's like getting a different perception of it, the way this past life chart wheel will allow a person to just get a different take on what they're doing here.
I wish we had more time because
yes, I understand.
Unfortunately, we have only a couple of minutes left, and I'd like for people to be able to buy your book and look at your other books, and also check out this software. And how can people connect best with your world and experience all the wonderful things that you're doing?
Probably go to the website, the BernieAshman.com website. Will give you a pretty good glimpse of everything I've done over the years, over these many years. But it's probably one of the best ways. And if people get any questions, there's an email address on there too, if they want to ask me any questions about what's on there, what kind of reading they need, or any question. I always respond.
I will add one to the description in the promos. I added one to your past life cartwheel, the chart wheel, and I added one
great.
To your Facebook. But I will now add one to your website as well, so people can access it. And are you working on any projects that you could tell us about now for the immediate future?
I've given it some thought, but I haven't really put it together yet. I've gotten so busy with clients over the years, and I've got quite a few readings to do. So that's another reason why I just had to pause on any more writing at the moment. But I kind of wait for those books to come to me. It's the way it always works with me.
Mm-hmm.
On the How to Survive Mercury Retrograde book, Llewellyn asked me to write that book. But ordinarily, I have to come up with these myself, you know, whatever hits me.
Well, I hope the inspiration hits you sometime soon. And in the interim, you've written lots of great books, so I have plenty of material to read. And again, as my journey continues, I'll be able to understand more, so I'll be able to ask better questions and understand more what you're telling me. Thank you.
No, you did
and,
great.
And I am going to invite you on soon. Talk about your Mercury Retrograde book and also to talk about past lives. I'm starting a new podcast that's going to deal with altered states, and including past lives and shamanic journeying. So I'd love to have you on that as well. Shelley's on that list also. So, thank you so very much, Bernie, for writing this book. It meant a lot to me. It's one of my foundational books for the next year. I'm going to be revisiting each chapter twice, once at the beginning of the month and once at the end. And at the beginning of the month, I'm going to just generally see what can I focus on so I can optimally learn from it, because all of these things are inside myself. And then at the end, it's like, how much did I actually absorb and how much progress did I actually make? Then eventually I'll internalize it, so I won't need to refer to the book. But it's an awesome book, and I'm looking forward to spending a good year with it. And thank you so very much. I wish you success and luck in everything that you do.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you doing this.
Have an awesome day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. And we're going to play a quick song, Golden Bough by Virginia Ackley. Since Virginia let us use her music, she's won many awards, so we celebrate her each and every show. And we'll be back in a few minutes. I am lost, oh, lost, oh,
Cooper, the unearthly choir, lady of moonlight, lady of day. I am lost, so lost on my way. What path do my feet tread now? To the shade of the golden bough.
That was Virginia Ackley's Golden Bough. Welcome to part two of Hercules and the Planetary Powers. Our guest is Kak Young, ever prolific, ever amazing. How are you, Kak?
I'm fine, Hercules. Thank you so much for having me on your show. You know how much I love you and love what you do.
Same here. And today, unfortunately, we only have half an hour, and three of your books we're going to be covering in that half an hour. The show is Hercules and Planetary Power. So we're going to start with Chart Your Course. I've been doing that program now for several years to great effect, and I'll be repeating it again this year. Have there been any changes to the course or any evolution to it?
Well, it started out with Buzz Myers in the 80s. He was an astrologer in Virginia Beach, and I learned the course from him. And it's pretty much the same because sticking with the truth of what the planets are and how those affect us on a monthly basis is very important. And so I think I've stayed true to what Buzz taught me, and then now I'm passing it on to everybody who really wants to walk the path according to the ancient astrological signs and energies.
It's an amazing system. It only takes 12 days to set the foundation or plant the seeds, and then basically what you do is just pay attention for the rest of the year. And,
well, that's true.
Go ahead.
No, it's like you correct your own homework, you know, if you will,
right.
Your own spiritual homework, which I love it. I mean, I do it every year. I do it every year. I spend the time. You can in the course that we have constructed, you get the workbook, you get the all the MP3s of each planet that you can download, and you work one a day. I like to use the power days of December 26th through January 6th because we get a sneak preview on every one of those days of the upcoming planetary year, and that comes from the ancients, that comes from the sun worshiping ceremonies, and that comes from the gods of winter that bring us into the new era after the harvest. So when we meditate and when we bring in the energies of each planet on a daily basis, and then we journal. We journal what we want to, how we want to use that planetary energy in the upcoming sign. So you really do the work in December and January, and then you wait until it really manifests itself beginning in Aries, beginning in a sign where that's where the action is. That's where the real activity is. And then at the end of that sign period, you go back and you evaluate how it was that you stated your intentions last December and January, and what has happened since. How have they shown up for you? I'll tell you, it is so eye-opening, because when you really go deep and meditate, it just opens your eyes in terms of what you are creating in your life and how you're doing it. So you can't help but get wiser every year.
And that is very true, and it is very empowering, and it shows you how much in control of your life you actually are. And it's amazing how things actualize. Sometimes they don't actualize in exactly the way you thought they would, but they do actualize. And I'm a big fan of that course, and I'm going to be following it again this year. And I decided this year to follow your cycles for Dancing with the Moon as well.
Oh, good. Because that's also a very powerful way to do it. You know, and these are all tools. You don't need any of them, really, if you're a master mind and you are able to really control and create the energies of the universe and bring them into your life and create that. But many of us can't do that yet. And so these books and these systems are all tools. You can use the sun or you can use the moon. And it allows you to go deep inside and practice certain, incorporate certain spiritual practices so that you get your mind, repetition in the mind helps you really manifest what you want. So you're kind of schooling your soul to manifest what you really want in your mind, what your conscious mind says, oh, I'd really like this to happen. I'd really like that to happen. So then you go down and you allow all of this to sift down into your solar plexus and into the deepest parts of you, and you say, this is what we want to do. This is what we're going to do. And so the deepest parts then get to work. And then they say, okay, great. And sometimes it shows up differently than you have imagined, but that's good because that means you are in touch with the universal power beyond what you could possibly think about, in your conscious mind.
And your books on and your program on that topic, on the astrological universe, has inspired me to track down Buzz Myers' books. And I found a few of them so far on Amazon and eBay. Because I was very impressed with what you did, and you credited some of your things to his teaching. So I figured let me go back to the source and drink from the same well and acquire some more wisdom. Because your books are incredible. They're awesome.
Well, thank you. And I, you know, over the years, I have sifted them all down and then brought them back out again for everyone in probably a little simpler form. Buzz was a great moonologist and a great astrologer, and I have taken the terms and made them a little bit more palatable and easy to understand for people. So, with his permission, and he passed away, 20 years ago now, sadly, but he left a few of us around that really admired his work and want to keep it going.
And you've done that admirably and quite successfully. You mentioned your other books. You include your books in your books. I don't know if I'm expressing that in the way that makes sense to anybody, but you freely share the information of one book in other books. And that's a unifying a factor of your books, so that they're all like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle.
Yes.
And so you'll have information on essential oils. You have information on crystals. You'll have information on all sorts of different things that you have entire books about. And then you follow the thread into your other books. So it's a wonderful tapestry.
Well, thank you. I think that it all boils. I mean, everything is all one. So they all flow together so easily. And even if you're interested in crystals, let's say, or essential oils, or astrology, they can all work together. Once you see the patterns in one, you recognize the patterns in the others, and you can combine them. It's kind of like making dinner. You know, you add different spices and different things, and there you have your soup. And so that's what it is. You're making the soup of your own life and your soul by using these different methods to get inside and communicate with yourself in your own inner wisdom, which very few of us stop to do. But when we do that, and when we do tap into our own natural birth resources, then we can just manifest our life exactly as we would like it to be. Although it may show up in a different color, that doesn't matter. We're still manifesting the truth of what our soul decries.
Worthy of many meditation sessions. Thank you. That was very profound, Kek.
Well, thank you. You seem to always bring out the profundity in me. I don't know why, but that's a good thing.
Well, thank you. I am still reading Living the Fairy Life, and it's an amazing book. What inspired you to write this book?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. I had pitched another book to Brenda Knight at Mango Publishing, and she said, I like it, but I don't love it. However, would you like to write a book on fairies? And I said, sure. Why? Yes, of course I'd love to write a book on fairies for you. So I sat down and I thought, what am I going to talk about? And then Hercules the Fairies wrote it. It was like it was an opportunity for them to speak through me, and they did. And I recalled all of the fairy instances in my life. Now, I do have a Celtic grandmother, and she did tell me lots of stories of fairies when I was young. But I didn't realize fully all the fairies that had come into my life in different shapes and forms. And as I began to write this book, the fairies would tap me on the shoulder and say, well, what about this? And then I would write the story of that. Well, Brenda Knight loved it. She was absolutely excited by the stories in the fairy book and my explanations as I researched and understood them. I have been a student of the Celtic way of life for many decades, and it all came together in the fairy book. And I really think there's a lot of nonsense out there about what fairies are and what they aren't. But I wanted to clarify for people that they are just simply supernatural beings who are connected to the energies of the planet, nature, stars, and the domains under the earth. That's what fairies are. And they're not hobgoblins, and they don't wear, you know, silly outfits. They are just these amazing spirits that you can communicate with if you are open and if you respect their way of life and their etiquette, if you will. So I lay all that out in the book. And, I didn't stop writing. I just sat down, and 5 weeks later, there was this book. And it was just the most amazing experience. And I had a fairy garden, and the fairies did save our house during the fire from severe damage because everything burned. Everything was charcoal in the backyard until you reached the fairy garden where there is a fairy gate. And then it stopped. It was just whole and complete from that point on. So I really believe in fairies. I really believe in these nature spirits and these superficial beings that are all around us. And what we do is call them in. We just understand their etiquette. You have to understand their rules. They're very, very ancient. So they don't listen to rap music, for example. They have different melodies that excite them. So we have to be on a learning curve. It's like learning a new language to deal with the fairies. But once you are willing to be humble enough to do that, you can have fairies in your life every day of your life if you want them. They're amazing creatures.
Yes, they are amazing indeed. And you had a chapter toward the end that basically lets a person know if they're an incarnate fairy. And I thought that was very interesting. Can you speak about that a little bit more?
Well, sure. There are certain telltale signs about a person if they have been a fairy in a past life. And, in fact, this you might be excited about this, but you know Shelley Kerr, and you know that,
yes.
You know, we all three of us love each other. So I mentioned to her, I said, why don't we write, because she's written all the books on past lives. I said, why don't you and I write the book on the past life of a fairy? And she went, oh, yes. So we're probably going to work on that in 2022 because it's something
awesome.
That both of us want to do. And it'll be a collaboration that will be just wonderful, I think. So anyway, I think that there are ways that people have been a fairy in a past life and they've materialized as a human in this life. They've crossed over, if you will. And it will be interesting to see if we can contact them and find out if they're going to go back and be a fairy in the next life. What kind of choices and opportunities do they have crossing those lines, crossing the veil? So I'm looking forward to that work with Shelley Kerr.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, too. That's an interesting topic. I've spent a lot of time exploring that. We've had shows on it. We've had elves on. We've had gnomes. We've had all sorts of incarnate nature spirits. And that was when I was studying metaphysics back in the 70s. That was one of the things that I was known for elemental lore and the different streams and incarnate elementals and so forth. So I'm really looking forward to what you guys write about it because I love both your books. I love both of you. You know, you're incredibly awesome. So whatever you produce will be incredibly awesome, I have no doubt.
Well, we'll have to interview you, Hercules. We'll have to, you know, tap into your brain here for this book. I think that would be, you know, one of the first things that we should do and see what we can unearth there.
I would be honored.
And it would be fun. We always have fun.
Yes,
so that's the point. I think that's what the fairies have taught me the most is have fun. There's wonder everywhere. All you have to do is just open your eyes and say, oh, I would like to see some wonder now. And then, boom, there it is. It's just such a great, fun way to live. You know, is to always
yes,
just have your eyes open and be in a state of wonder. And then your life is never boring. It's never dull. It's always fun. It's joyful and exciting.
And since fairies are not cursed by mortality, as mortals believe they are, then the fun extends beyond the brief days in the sun that we have as mortals.
That's true. That's true. You know, and did we start as fairies and become mortals, and will we go back to that? I mean, they were the shining ones. They could certainly hop across any plateau, any plain, anytime they wanted to. So perhaps, you know, we're living this life and being encumbered by a body in order to learn some lessons so that when we go back into fairyland, we'll have new insights and wisdom to take with us.
That is awesome. Yes, I believe that may indeed be so. Or we're here to be delighted and have fun, temporary fun, like a vacation of sorts.
A vacation, yes. And they're not, you know, they are not Tinkerbell. They are not little beings with gossamer wings, and they don't have magic dust and all of that. They do have magic, but they don't carry little bags and blow the sparkly dust around. That's not what a fairy is. That is Walt Disney's idea of a fairy. But don't you love that Walt Disney in the late 40s thought about fairies? I love the fact that he dabbled in the planes that have spirits in them and that have magic in them. And that's what he brought is he brought the world of fantasy into our lives so we could see it. And, you know, some people think that it's just physically Disneyland, but it's a start, isn't it? It's a beginning.
Yes, it is. And a lot of his stuff is based on real folklore and real mythology. And usually it's things that people don't think are based on reality, but they are. They're based on reality. There have been TV shows, lots of them, including a Disney show, Once Upon a Time or Happily Ever After. I don't remember what it was. Once Upon a Time, I believe. And they got into some of the more multidimensional aspects of fairies and the fae. So the information is out there, and it's great that you're approaching it from a reality-based position rather than a fantasy-based position.
Well, and I love American Gods, that series that stars Ian McShane.
Yes, yes.
There also is a fairy in it, and he is 6 foot tall, and he's redhead, and he has a drinking problem, and he's always out of luck, but he can produce gold coins, but not for himself. He produces it for other people. So there's magic about it. And then when he loses his gold coin, he doesn't have his powers anymore. So it's great. I mean, there he is in a series, a big, tall, clumsy fairy. And we love him. And we get to know him and we care about him.
And the gods are people, too, very much as we are. I wish you had more time to talk about American Gods, but we're down to the last 7 minutes, and you do so many wonderful things all the time. You never stop doing wonderful things. What wonderful thing are you working on for the near future, if you could share it?
Well, gosh, there are quite a few things. I'm planning the book with Shelley Cairn in 2022. I have written a screenplay on medical Reiki. Yeah, with Raven Keyes. Actually, I've written the screenplay, but based on her book. And I'm going to be pitching that into places in Hollywood in the next few months. So perhaps we will have Reiki on the screen in 2022 or 2023. I'm hoping so. I've gotten some nice feedback on my screenplay. So I'm excited about that. It's the first one I've ever written. But, you know, entities come and help you. If something is meant to be, it has nothing to do with me. It's all about the entities that I'm open to that help me get something accomplished. So I'm very, very aware of that as, you know, in this stage of my life. It's not about me. It's about all the other people around that want to, you know, use my hands and use my mind to communicate their message. And that's the fun. I mean, it's like getting up every day. I have no idea who I'm going to be in touch with, but woohoo! It's a party all the time.
There you go. But you are an amazing person, and you've done amazing things throughout your life. So whatever entities and energies are communicating through you, they pick the right vehicle and vessel.
Well, thank you very much. And they pick and me to express some of this wonderment to the rest of the world, and I always thank you for the opportunity to come on your show and to talk to your audience, because they're a loyal bunch that loves you very much, and thank you for sharing that with me.
And thank you for being a wonderful guest all the time. And now, will there be more courses? Shelley does a lot of courses. Are you going to be doing more courses also in addition to Chart Your Course?
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about doing Dancing with the Moon, but, you know, what I believe is true is you really need a huge machine behind you, and Shelley doesn't stop. She just constantly cranks out these amazing courses, and I do many other things. I have clients. I have things. I don't have the physical time to create them and then market them and put them out, but I would do them. If I can find the partner who will put them out there for me, then I will absolutely do them and share what I know 100%. So, you know, maybe that's what's coming up in the new year, perhaps.
That would be incredibly awesome. And this brings you full circle back to earlier journeys that you've had. So I'm very excited for you for that reason as well.
Well, thank you, and I would really love, I think my first love is to get this television show mounted and created and on the air so that people understand that healing comes from within them and nowhere else, and Reiki awakens that healing energy in them, and then it goes throughout the whole body. I want people to be aware of their personal power and how these Reiki masters can direct that energy into them so that it becomes a personal habit and they can overcome illness, sickness, they can overcome anything that impacts them from being the whole perfect and complete person that they start out with and are throughout the whole part of their life. But then society or in religion tells them, no, you're not, you're a sinner, or you deserve that or something. And so I think Reiki and this show on the air will help open people's minds to the fact that they are powerful beyond any imagination or what they believe about themselves, that they are powerful beyond measure.
And that is the most powerful place in today's show. Thank you. That was very powerful. And how can people enter your world and access all the wonderful things that you're doing and cheer you on as you tackle this new project, which I can see already is done, so I know it's going to happen.
Thank you. All right. CacYoung.com is where they can find me, K-A-C-Young.com. My books are there. You can purchase on Amazon. You can get distribution through DeVore's and Llewellyn. All the information is there. You can contact me through that website, CacYoung.com, and it's all there for you. Thank you so much.
And I'll post the link to your website as well as the other links I put in the promo so people can more easily access it. Cac, thank you so very much. You're awesome. You're incredible. And I look forward to talking to you very soon.
Ditto, Hercules, and thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of the evening for you.
Thank you, and you too. And thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, dialed a number and you're waiting on the board, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. We'll close with a song by Virginia Ackley, If You Can Dream, because dreaming is what it's all about. Thank you, Cac.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be.